الله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. وقال الله عز وجل في موضع آخر: يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا. وقال: ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله، صدق الله العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام, friends and elders in Islam, everything has an external part to it and an internal part to it. External meaning the outer form, the appearance of that item, how it looks, the structure, the features of it, etc. And then you have the internal part of it, what is inside it, how does it taste. For example, if a person has a fruit, if a person puts a mango in front of him, then one is the external part of the mango, looking at it, how ripe it is, whether the color is green, the color is orange, going towards red, etc. The size of the mango, etc. Then comes the internal part of the mango, that is the taste of it. No one wants to buy a sour fruit. No one wants to buy a sour mango. So he will look towards the external part and he will try and judge that this fruit, this mango, or whichever fruit it may be, it will be juicy, it will be tasty, it will be sweet, etc., so that he can relish and he can enjoy. So what we understand from here, that not everything is about the external features of an item. There's a lot that got to do with the internal part of things. Take an example of a lion. Take a child to the zoo, a small child or an adult, and take him into the cage where there's lions around. Tell him, I'll pay you so certain amount of money. You must just jump off and spend an hour with the lions. No adult will try and get and jump down the car if he is told that these lions haven't eaten for one day. Why? Because he knows the damage that this animal can make. And the same lion, take the mane of it, take the skin of it, and put it in the structure of a lion. There's no life in it. Just put it around an animal structure and put an adult in front of him, or put a small child there and say, spend your time with that lion. He will happily spend time with the lion. He'll go and feel the mane. He'll feel the skin, etc. But what is the difference between the two scenarios? The difference is that there was life in that lion. The internal part of that lion was alive. The heart was beating, so he knew the damage will take place. As soon as that life was gone, there was no internal part to it anymore, then even the small child realizes that this can do me nothing, this can do me no harm, I can go and play one to it. Respected friends and elders in Islam, as a believer, as a mu'min, as a reciter of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, our iman is not only our attire. Our iman is not only our topi. Our iman is not only our beard. Our iman is also what is inside us. What is the level of the fire of iman in the heart? How much do you want to sacrifice for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, addressing the believers, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, aminu. Translation, O believers, believe. The question that will come to your, to my mind and your mind is that when we have brought iman, when we have already recited the kalima, then why is Allah addressing us and saying, believe? O believers, bring iman, believe. Mufassireen and ulama kiram write, they say that Allah is not talking about the external part of iman. We said the kalima. We said the kalima long ago. Every day we say the kalima. When we were in the maktab, every single day the apa used to tell us the kalima. We learned the five kalimas. We gave exam for the five kalimas. But Allah is not talking about the external part of the kalima. Allah is not talking about iman on the tongue. Allah is talking about iman of the heart. This is what Sahaba radiallahu anhum stood out for. Today, you open the books of history and you look at each story of a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, a simple man. But what made him rich in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What made him a millionaire or a trillionaire in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Was the wealth of iman. Was the currency of iman. In the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu is appointed as a leader of the battalion that has been sent out for war in the Roman area, to Rome. They go for war, the war takes place, and Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu is taken as a captive. Knowing that he was the general of the army, he was the leader dispatched by none other than Umar radiallahu anhu, they had to inform the king of Rome that today we have a special captive. On inquiry, they replied that this is the general of the army appointed by Umar radiallahu anhu. Who is Umar? Umar radiallahu anhu, who is that person? In his reign of Khilafat, he ruled over 1,400,000 square miles of land. This was Umar radiallahu anhu's rob. His awe was such that if you took his name in front of a kafir, be it miles away, immediately he will step back. So the king also knew about Umar radiallahu anhu. Therefore, Umar radiallahu anhu, Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu is mentioned in front, in the court of the king of Rome. The king of Rome mentions that, bring him to me. Since he's a Sahabi, I am going to convince him to become a Christian. Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu is brought in the court of the Roman king. And the Roman king tells him that leave Islam. Leave what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling towards. I will give you my daughter in marriage and you will rule half of Rome with me. Half will be mine and half will be yours. Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu says, I'm not happy with this. Give me your entire kingdom and give me the entire Arabian Peninsula to rule over. I will still remain steadfast on the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu, looking at his firmness on iman, the king tries to put another test in front of him. He tells his men, go and take out two Muslim captives and make oil, make it nice and hot. And thereafter, when it is nice and hot, throw one of the Muslim captives inside. Before you throw the Muslim captive inside that burning and that hot oil, bring Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu to me. Things were done as the instruction of the royal king of Rome at that time. And Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu is again brought in the kingdom in front of so-called His Majesty. The king addresses Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu to say that if you do not leave your deen, then two brothers of yours are going to go into the oil or into the water, difference of narrations. Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu declines. He says, I will still remain steadfast on iman. And he reads the kalima loudly in front of the Roman king. Those two Muslim captives are put to death in that oil. They burnt. Again, Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu still remains firm. So the king commands that now it will be your turn to get killed. How will we kill you? He says, we will shoot arrows at you until your last breath. Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu is tied, hands apart, legs apart, And the king has commanded his shooters, his men, that shoot close to his hands and legs. No arrow must touch his body. No arrow must touch his body, but shoot around his entire body. Arrows are shot around the body of Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu. And again the king addresses him to say that now this will be your fate. Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu still remains steadfast, and he replies that I will not leave my fate. So the reply is given, the order is given by the king that Abu Anhu will be thrown in the hot oil. The judgment was given and the men take Abdullah bin Hudhafa towards the oil. But to their amazement, they see that Abdullah bin Hudhafa. So the men of the king, of the Roman king, think to themselves that looks like now he's scared. Looks like now he has given in. He's seen that now the king is not joking with him. Now the king is serious. My life is on the line at the moment now. So they immediately go and inform the king to say that there's tears in his eyes. Looks like he's going to leave the deen of Islam. Congratulations to the king. And congratulations to the men of the king. Hence he is brought forward again in front of the king. When he's brought forward in front of the king this time, the king asks him, so I don't have to tell you anything, just read what I tell you. So Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu tells him that I will read only one thing, that is the kalima la ilaha illallah. The king is shocked, the men are shocked. They ask him, then why are you crying? Why the tears? He says, I am tearing because I only have one life to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, my desire is that every strand of hair that I have on my body, I must be given a life in exchange of every strand on my body. And each life I want to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we say the reality of Iman. This is what we say the internal part of Iman, where the kalima la ilaha illallah, where the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so much inside you that nothing else can take you away. Sahaba radiallahu anhum had the reality of Iman. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, he's on his deathbed. Let us listen to this with the eye of Iman. He's a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's on his deathbed. People around him, but he doesn't want to look at anyone. He has turned his face away towards the wall. He doesn't want to turn, he doesn't want to look at anyone. He doesn't want to converse with anyone. His son Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu gradually takes up the courage to go close to his respected father and to ask him that what is the matter. He was sick and he was ailing at that time. So his father, after his son took up the courage, he addresses the people around him and he says, my life is divided into three parts, three categories. He says, there was a time in my life, the first part, there was a time in my life, there was no one more hated to me and more disliked to me than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to pass by me at that time, at that phase of my life, then with whatever I had in front of me, I would make sure I would take the life away of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, if I died at that time, then definitely guaranteed I would have gone to Jahannam. There was no sign of Iman in me. I was a complete right out kafir. Then he says, there was a time, he drops a tear, and he says, there was a time in my life, the second phase of my life, where I approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to accept Islam. Ya Rasulullah, inni uridu an ubayyak. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu says, I went to the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I tell him, O Rasul of Allah, I want to pledge allegiance on your hands. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings out his hand to Amr bin As radiallahu anhu. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu says, inni uridu an ashtarif. But I got conditions, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, tashtari tu maada? What are your conditions? You bringing Islam? You're bringing the kalima, la ilaha illallah. You're getting the pleasure of Allah on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What more you want? So he says that I want the condition I want, an yughfar li, that when I stand up on the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah, then I don't want any sin in my book of deeds. Nothing at all. Zero. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, Hijrat, Hajj and Islam, three things wipe out every sin of yours. He says, you brought Islam, you're going to make Hajj, and you've made Hijrat, you're going to make Hijrat, what more you want? He pledges allegiance on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Life continues, but he says that life was a life that revolved around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From Fajr till Isha, it was only one thing, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Fajr, what has Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us? Go home, come back. What is the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There was no dunya that could take me away that time. My love was so intense for the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you could put the whole dunya in front of me at that time, but I will still choose Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, if at that time Allah took me away, then I can guarantee that I will go straight into Jannah. Because there was nothing else. My life was Allah and His Rasul. No money, nothing was there. From Fajr till Isha, my breakfast, lunch and supper was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I wake up, I want to know what is the command of Rasulullah. When I go to sleep, I can't wait to go and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the next day. When I'm at home, I'm thinking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I'm eating, I'm thinking, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eat? When I have something, let me go and give this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was my life. He says, if I passed away at that time, guaranteed I would have gone into Jannah. Then he says, the third phase of my life, that is the phase we are in now. He's talking to the people that are there and his son, of course. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. Umar radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. Wealth started pouring into Islam. Because we were the closest people to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Name and fame came together. There was a lot of fame. There was affluence, there was influence, there was everything. Everything was at our beck and call. Why? Because we were the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he starts crying. And then he makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected friends and elders, this dua is something that each and every person should include in his daily dua. He makes dua to Allah. He says, Allahumma la qawiyun fa antasir. Who's talking? Not an ordinary man. A companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is talking. A man whose day and night is iman. A man whose day and night is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man whose day and night after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to pass on the message of his beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is talking, he is making dua. Look at the dua. Allahumma la qawiyun fa antasir. Wa la bari'un fa a'tadir. And before that he says, Allahumma amartana fa asayna. Oh Allah, you commanded us. فَعَصَيْنَا We broke your command. وَنَهَيْنَا فَانْتَهَيْنَا You told us, don't do this, don't do that. Don't listen to music. Music is haram. Don't get involved in guna. Don't get involved in sin, in zina. Don't misuse your eyes. Don't misuse your tongue. اللَّهُمَّ نَهَيْتَنَا فَانْتَهَيْنَا Oh Allah, you told us all this. فَانْتَهَيْنَا But we didn't listen to you. We still committed the crime. وَلَا يَسَعُنَا إِلَّا عَفُّكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ The only thing that can save us now, O Allah, is your forgiveness. Who is talking? A sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, Allahumma la qawiyun fa antasir. O Allah, I'm not strong. I got no power. Fa antasir. Therefore, I'm asking you for my, I'm asking help from you. Again, who is talking? Not an ordinary man like you and I. A companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What he's saying? Allahumma la qawiyun fa antasir. O Allah, I got no power. Fa antasir, that I can, therefore, I ask you for help. Wala bari'un fa a'tadir. At the same time, O Allah, I've done a lot of wrong. I've committed a lot of crime. Fa a'tadir. Therefore, O Allah, pardon me. Forgive me, O Allah. وَلَا مُسْتَنْكِرٌ بَلْ مُسْتَغْفِرٌ. Oh Allah, I don't deny my disobedience. That I have gone against your command. I accept that I got involved in guna. I accept that I was backbiting. I accept that I was involved in haram. I accept that I was in front of, I was watching haram. I was speaking haram. I was listening to haram. Abdullah bin Amr bin Asr says, وَلَا مُسْتَنْكِرٌ بَلْ مُسْتَغْفِرٌ. I'm not denying anything, O Allah. بَلْ مُسْتَغْفِرٌ. I'm asking for your forgiveness. يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He says that thrice. Then he says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتْ. There's no deity but you. He says that thrice and he leaves this world. What we learn from the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accountability. Accountability till his last breath. He was worried, what will happen to me on the day of Qiyamah? How will I face my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Umar radiallahu anhu, once the discussion of Munkar and Nakir took place, Umar radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the angels that are going to ask us and what are the questions, etc. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that these two angels will come and take your exam and your imtihan on the day of Qiyamah, when you pass away in the grave. But then Umar Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam just came and told me that when Munkar and Nakir are going to come to ask Umar radiallahu anhu his questions, when they are going to ask the questions of the grave to Umar radiallahu anhu, they will say, Fayaqulan wa ajaba. They will say, wa ajaba, la nadri, nahnu ursilna ilayk, am ursilta ilayna. Umar radiallahu anhu will be waiting for them. When they will come, Umar radiallahu anhu will say, my Rabb is Allah, who is your Rabb. My Prophet is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is your Prophet. My deen is Islam, what is your deen? Fayaqulan, wa ajaba, la nadri, am ursilna ilayk. Am ursilta ilayna. We don't know whether we were sent to ask you questions or you taking our exam. This is Umar radiallahu anhu and he's going to pass away. But when he's living and he's about to pass away, his son Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu is there. He addresses his son and he tells his son, after he was stabbed, the lengthy incident that we all know, he tells his son, if Allah gives me the entire world full of gold, if it is in my control, if I have so much, I will give everything. Just so that my life after I pass away is good, is comfortable. It's full of ease and comfort. My Allah is happy with me. He tells his son, Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhu, oh Abdullah, al-siq khaddi bil-ard. Who is Umar radiallahu anhu? In his khilafat, 1,400,000 square miles of land. Under his khilafat. But what he's saying, al-siq khaddi bil-ard, put my face on the ground. His son is reluctant. Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen, a man who rules across the Muslim world, and he wants his head to be put on the ground. So he puts his head on his thigh. His son puts his respected father's head on his thigh. Again his father shouts him, al-siq khaddi bil-ard, put it on the ground, not on your thigh. Then, O Amirul Mu'mineen, leave it on the thigh. Umar radiallahu anhu again shouts his son, put it on the ground. His head is put onto the ground, onto the sand. He wipes his head on the sand of Medina, of that place. And he's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What dua is making? He's making dua to Allah. Said, "Oh Allah, you gave me everything, but I wasn't grateful to all that you have given to me." Who is this? A person who was given guarantee by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to the agency of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam directly from Allah that you're going to pass your exam in the grave. You're going to take exam of the angels who are going to ask you. No exam for you. But see how he's passing away. Respected friends and elders, this is what we call iman. This is the true definition of iman. This is the iman that we need. The kurta, the topi, the beard. This is the external part of iman. There's an internal part of iman that we all need. That you and I need. Our families need. Everyone needs. This is that part that will take us across on the day of Qiyamah. That is the part that will talk for us on the day of Qiyamah. The ijtima' is taking place. What is the purpose of the ijtima'? The purpose of the ijtima' is for us to gather there, for us to realize and for us to witness true iman. You go there and you see, once the adhan goes, everyone who is busy in anything, immediately, either he's going to make wudu or either he's going to perform his salah. That is iman. When the ijtima' finishes, what do we take from the ijtima'? We take that from the ijtima'. That when the azan will go after the ijtima' also, then I will leave everything aside and I will run towards the masjid. Why? My Allah is calling me now. Now Malikul Muluk is calling me. The King of all kings is calling me now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability and the tawfiq to work on this internal part of iman. May Allah make it easy for us that when it's our last breath, nice and smooth. And Allah, take us with iman. Keep iman in our hearts. Keep iman in our families, our friends and our children. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ